little bit in this series about the Christian life. In particular, we've been talking about the fact that there are certain promises that God has given us, promises that He is making to us of His provision for us to live the Christian life. And so I'm going to spend a little more time this morning continuing with the theme from last week, and that is this calling, this promise of God's promise for power in the Christian life. He hasn't said to us, listen, I sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, and if you accept Jesus, then you're saved. But as far as living the Christian life, you're just on your own. Do the best you can. Try to keep the things that I've said in my word the best you can. And hope for the best. That's the exact opposite of spiritual reality. God has said that the Christian life is, in a sense, it's a supernatural life. To do the things that God has said to do in His Word, to love our enemies, to forgive those who have, you know, sinned against us, to overcome some of us, all of us in different ways, have deep sin struggles. To overcome them, we cannot do it on our own strength. I've heard it said once that the Christian life is actually impossible to live on our own strength. And so God gives us this promise in His Word in many, many places. Not only have I saved you and set you right with me through Christ, but I have given you my power and will continue to give my power to you to live a life for me that is honoring and glorifying to me. And that's what we want to dig into today. Last week we talked about that God's power is I'm going to review just for a second here. It is His not power, physical power, for me to go outside and be able to lift a car over my head. That's not what we're talking about here. God says my power is of a spiritual nature. My power is to give you spiritual strength to become the person that I've called you to become and to love the way that I've called you to love. And you can't do that on your own, but I have given you the power to do that. We saw last week that it is God's power that saves us in the first place. It is the power of the cross, and it's Christ's victory over sin and death and the devil, where He finally won the ultimate victory. That is the power of God at work. And nobody gets right with God, gets saved, apart from God's power being at work and saving that person and us turning to Him and receiving that gift of salvation. But it is the power of God that makes salvation possible. We also saw that it is the power of God at a very foundational level. What Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus was he said, I pray that you would have, all of you, the church would have the power to grasp how wide and deep and long and wide is the love of Christ. We need God's empowerment to truly comprehend and grasp and experience the love of Jesus Christ. It's not just a concept that's out, you know, out there. It's something that God wants us to experience in our minds, in our hearts. He wants us to walk around knowing that we are dearly loved with a radical love by our Savior. And the terminology is such that He wants us to know it, not just in our heads, but in our hearts. He wants us to know that love in our experience, deep in our experience. And only God's power can enable us to dig deeper and deeper into the love of Christ, which is the foundation of everything for the Christian life. And so we talked about that last week. And then finally, we talked about that. How do you experience that power of God? It's through weakness. Remember Paul's words, when I am weak, then I am strong. When I come before God and say, God, I cannot do this on my own. God, I don't have the power to do the things that I need to do. God, I have struggles in my life that are causing me to be discouraged. He had a thorn in the flesh. Doesn't say what it was. And God's words were, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is sufficient for you. And those words are true of us. We need to come to God in surrender and weakness. So today I want to build on this foundation from last week. And I want to look real quickly at three directions in which God's power is available for us in the Christian life. So you want to get your bulletin inserts out and follow along just to help follow with me. But before I get to the three directions, I want to talk first about the source of God's power. Just a reminder, I know this isn't new information here, but God's power comes to us through the Holy Spirit. If you do a survey of the New Testament, God's power and the Holy Spirit almost always are attached to one another. The Holy Spirit. Luke 24, Jesus is speaking to His disciples and He's predicting, He's telling them what's going to happen. He says, I am going to send you what My Father has promised. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. In that passage, we have all three members of the Trinity present. We have the Son who is there speaking these words. He makes reference to the Father, a promise that the Father has made, and that is that He is going to send, after Jesus completes the work of dying on the cross, He's going to send the Holy Spirit. That's the power from on high. That's God's power. You need to understand and be reminded this morning that the Holy Spirit is not separate from God. The Holy Spirit is God. We have a triune God, and I'm not going to do a sermon on the Trinity today, but you have to remember that we have one God made up of three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They live together in perfect unity and love and power and purpose for all eternity. They're on the same page. The Holy Spirit indwells or lives in the heart of every single believer. In Ephesians, we were studying this in Sunday school a couple weeks ago. It says, having believed the gospel, you were marked in Christ with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives. The Holy Spirit, you might write this down, the Holy Spirit is the power and presence of God in the life of every believer. The Holy Spirit is the power of God and the presence of God. He lives in us. The power and presence of God in the life of every believer. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit, He's kind of, in a sense, He's like the cheerleader for God the Father and Jesus the Son. The Holy Spirit does not draw attention to Himself, so to speak. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to glorify the Father and to point us to the Son. Remember, Jesus said, I will send another and He will teach you all things that I have taught you. The Holy Spirit points us to Christ. That's His role, so to speak, in the Trinity. It is the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts that allows us to grasp in an ever-growing fashion how deep and wide and long and high is the love of Christ. It won't happen apart from the Holy Spirit working in your life. So the power comes from the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 starts out with these words, predicting the coming of the Holy Spirit back in Acts 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's an interesting study. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or looked at this. The difference, even in the life of the disciples, the guys that traveled with Jesus, you know, when He was on His earthly ministry, before the Holy Spirit came, they really struggled a lot. And then you see the Holy Spirit come in Acts chapter 2, and all of a sudden, these guys are on a whole different playing field. Before, they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. A couple of the guys are arguing over that. One of them asked Jesus, "Hey, me and James and John, we want to sit on your left and your right in the kingdom." Peter's denying Christ at the most critical moment. What did the disciples do at the crucifixion? Most of them fled. They ran for their cowardly little lives. Then Jesus completed the work on the cross and was raised again. And when the Holy Spirit did come, think about the disciples afterwards. Peter stands up and he's no longer a coward. In fact, he stands right in the temple and preaches the first sermon and 3,000 people get saved. He does not care anymore what they might do to him. Stephen, you remember the story in Acts, the first martyr. This man is filled with the Holy Spirit, it says. And he was standing up for Christ and the enemies of Christ stoned him to death. And he stood there and he just took it and he saw a vision of God welcoming him into heaven in the very moment. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Boldness is what characterized these men of God. You see, Paul and Silas in prison for their faith, singing hymns. They don't care. They're living for God. And all the disciples and all of the followers of Christ faced persecution, faced poverty. Some of them faced martyr's death, meaning they were killed for their faith. And God gave them the power to endure, the power to live, and here's the key, boldly for Christ. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. And that same empowerment, friends, is available to you and to me to live the Christian life. Just like for them, it didn't mean that every person that was sick was healed and every problem that a person faced just instantly disappeared. What it meant was that God went deep into our character and gives us the strength to endure even the trials of life with great strength and great love. So that's the source of God's Spirit at work in us. That's His strength. So let's look at these three directions. The first one has to do with the inner life. God's power enables us to live a godly life. Like I said before, God doesn't save us and sit us down right back where we were. He saves us and He sets us on a new path to now live for Him, the one who saved us and rescued us, to live for Him in all that we do. And He gives us the power to do that. Look at this passage in 2 Peter 1. God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge, and that word means intimate knowledge, of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises. That's what we're talking about. So that through them, you may, look at this, participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption the world has caused by evil desires. God has set us apart not to live like the world. The world, we were talking about this in Sunday school this morning, the world, as the Bible uses that term, it's the world that's living in rebellion against God. It's the mindset that, God, we don't need you. We want to live life apart from you on our own. And this passage is saying, when God saves you, He gives you a new power to live a new life. One of divine enablement to live for God. That is the promise of His power, and it comes through the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. If you are here this morning and a believer and you are struggling in the Christian life, I want to be clear. The problem is not that God is holding out on you. The problem is not that He forgot you. The problem is not that He accidentally gave a little bit too much of the Holy Spirit to that person over there and you got the short end of the stick. God is not holding out on you. If you and I, when we struggle, it is an alignment problem on our end. We get in a pathway and in a pattern of cutting off the Spirit. The Bible uses words like, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Meaning, don't pour water on the flame and douse it through your behavior, through your decisions. We need to align ourselves with the purposes of God. And as we do that, God's enablement is there. Look at Colossians 1, another passage that speaks to this inner life. Another one of Paul's prayers for the church. He says, we pray this in order that you may, here it is, live a life worthy of the Lord. That should be a goal for all of us. And may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And here we go. Being strengthened, doesn't say strengthen yourselves, being strengthened. In other words, it's something that happens to you with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have the result, you may have great endurance and patience. Anybody need endurance and patience? That's something that God's Holy Spirit produces in us. And joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. This power, it's the word in Greek, it's dunamis. And it's from where we get the term dynamite. And it actually has a meaning of simply the capacity to overcome resistance. It's the empowerment of God. It's just enough of what we need to overcome the obstacles that we're facing, to overcome the sin struggle that's got a hold on our life, to overcome, you know, a lack of faith when we feel like we're out of faith, to overcome the, you know, give us the capacity, again, to love somebody when we just don't feel like loving. God gives us all that we need to get there, if we will cooperate with God, if we will align our hearts with God, if we will tell God, God, I need You. I need Your power to do this thing that I see that I must do to live a life worthy. So, let me just stop here for a second. If you're interested in living your life for God, and that's a decision maybe is the starting point for some of you. Some of you, this sermon isn't even making much sense because it's not even your desire, your focus to live for God. The sermon I'm preaching, God's power is for the person, the child of God who has said, man, where would I be without Christ and His salvation? You died for me to rescue me for all eternity, to demonstrate Your radical love, I will live for You. That's what we're talking about. It says the result of that is endurance and patience. Endurance is this idea of something that is not easily succumbing under pressure, under suffering. In other words, when endurance is when I'm going through a time of suffering, whether it's personal, physical, whether it's a spiritual battle, whether it's a family kind of going through a difficult season, this endurance is God's capacity, His enabling power to help you not just kind of barely make it through, but to make it through, you know, trusting Him and honoring Him and being present to the people involved with the struggle, with the encouragement of God. And that patience has the idea of exercising a God-given, listen to this, self-restraint when we feel like blowing up. In other words, the opposite of patience is a violent or an angry impatience. And God gives us that capacity. Okay, God, you're in the middle of this. You're at work. I don't understand all the details. I don't understand how it all fits together, but I trust that you are at work. And he gives us that patience. That's what the power is for. That's the first area. The next blank there, if the first direction is kind of the inner life, the godly life, the second direction of God's power enables us to live a life of serving others. I would think of this as the body life. Life within the family of God. That's kind of the context of the passage we're going to look at here. 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone serves, he should do it, what? With the strength God provides. So that all in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Are you seeing why it works this way? Why God has set it up this way? If I can do the Christian life in my own strength, then who gets the glory? Who? Me. But if I have to rely on God and His strength, then He gets the glory. I praise Him. Oh God, I would not have been able to do this without You. Oh God, I would not have been able to make it through this without You. Praise Your name. Praise You, God. He gets the glory as we depend on Him. This word serve is likely in the larger passage of 1 Peter 4, probably referring to one of the things that the Holy Spirit does for every believer, and that is He dispenses spiritual gifts. He gives each person unique supernatural abilities to serve the body of Christ in different ways. And one of them is serving one another. Several of the spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 are what we would call serving kind of gifts. They're behind the scenes kind of gifts. They're I'm going to look out for the needs of others in the body of Christ kind of gifts, and I'm going to meet those needs. And it says here we are to do it with the strength that God supplies. Many of you have areas of responsibility here in this church. Different roles that you play. I have a role to play. You have a role to play. And the admonition here, the encouragement here is don't try to do it on your own strength. Think about right now. What are the things that, the roles, that, the hats that you wear right now in this church? And it doesn't have to be a formal role. You don't, maybe aren't teaching a Sunday school class. Maybe you're just one who participates by being here. But are you functioning in the strength that God provides? Are you serving? Do you have a mindset? Do we have a heart to serve one another in God's strength? If we do, God will give us insight. How do I minister to that person? How do I meet the need that that person has? How can I bless them and encourage them? God, I need Your help to do that. I need Your strength and insight. So God empowers us personally to live for Him in our own life. God brings us all together and He gives us the power to serve one another in the church of family life. And then that takes us to our last one. The last area. God's power enables us to be an effective witness to the world. So this last one takes us beyond ourselves in a sense and beyond just the walls of the church and the people of the church. And God's power is there for this issue of being a witness for God. To finish Acts 1:8, we started with it. It started, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." But what is that power for? "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. You will bear testimony." That's what a witness is. It's somebody that stands in a court and bears testimony to the truth. And the truth here is Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and He's been raised again. And we are to bear witness of that. You are to tell people the good news. You are to share your faith and your testimony with others. But once again, we cannot do it without the power of God, without the Holy Spirit in enabling us, and I would say emboldening us to do it. Many of us, self-included, I wrestle with fear sometimes when it comes to sharing my faith. If somebody invites me to share my faith, I'm all over it. I'm good with that. But if I kind of have to bust through the wall to do it, I get a little fearful sometimes. Earlier in my Christian life, I really struggled with what to say. I don't know what to say. But even there, the Holy Spirit will provide us with the words to say. I've said this before. The key to being active in your sharing your faith is one thing. I want to ask you if you have it this morning, and that is a burden. Do you have a burden for lost people? Do you have a burden for people that are far from God in your life? Do you have a... You think about it. You find yourself thinking about it. Man, they just need Christ. They need the forgiveness of God. And I can tell them about that. And does it bring emotion? Does it bring tears when you think about how you want that person to know the treasure that you know? I've found in life that evangelism training classes, they only go so far. They're okay. But it's the burden that will really motivate us to begin to share and to take a risk and to step out of our comfort zone. See Paul describing this in his own life in 2 Timothy there. He says, "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all of the Gentiles, those that he was going to, might hear it." It was the strength of God. Well, at the bottom of your... So that's the three areas. Inner life, body life, and witness life. God's power is available, friends, to us in these areas. At the bottom of your outline, you might have a little blank space. I want to give you a couple of power blockers. I want to end by just touching on a couple of things that block God's power in our lives. Number one, unconfessed sin. If you want to pour a bucket of water on the flame of the Holy Spirit in your life, unconfessed sin. You got sin in your life, you got going on, and you do everything but confess it. You rename it, you minimize it, you blame others for it. God wants us to come clean before Him and say, "God, this is you know what I did. I own it." If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9 says, "He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness." That is a promise for the believer. Number two that will block the power of God is an unsurrendered life. These overlap. But But some of you, maybe here this morning, have accepted Christ as your Savior, but you're just kind of living for yourself. And you think about mainly yourself. That's an unsurrendered life. A surrendered life is one where you bring your life before God and say, God, all yours. My life belongs to you. He's not going to give you power to live your life your way. So maybe as we close in prayer and you think about these areas, where you need God's power, the things that block God's power, I just encourage you, as I close in prayer, that you pray to God yourself and begin to do business with God. Call out to God. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Tell Him that you need Him. Call out to Him as we pray. Father, we come before You today. Lord, I've tried to do a survey, really, of several passages that group together this issue of this promise of your gift of power. I notice in these that we don't have to try to earn, you know, your power, but we do have to align ourselves with you. Lord, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that indwells every believer and is the power and presence of you in our lives. And that you've called us to, the Christian life is hard. It's not an easy life, but you've given us the strength to live it in a way that honors you, that is worthy of you. God, you've given us the power inside of ourselves to overcome sin struggles and to love the way you've called us to love. And you've given us the power in your Spirit to serve one another in a way that honors you. And then you've given us the power to be bold in our witness as we proclaim the good news to others. Father, some here this morning know that they're blocking your power because of sin in their life, unconfessed sin, unowned sin. Maybe they haven't even been willing to call it sin up to this point. God, I pray that you would give them the strength to do business with you even today, even at this moment. And Lord, may we all bring our lives regularly surrendered to you. Do your work in us this week. Change us, transform us, use us. Lord, we love you. Where would we be without Christ? And where would we be without the empowerment of your Spirit? Lord, we love you and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.